As always, I'm very pleased and honored to have a small part in the Cary Conference, but I was a little bit afraid when I received the program schedule this year and saw that I had been scheduled for the Sunday morning sermon. And the reason was, of course, because of the great sermon that was preached last Sunday of the Cary Conference last year. And I thought, after Pastor Kirk, how do you have thunder and lightning and a rainstorm and everything else come just before your sermon? And when I got up this morning, of course, it didn't look too bad, but it's getting worse all the time, so I'm encouraged. And maybe before the end of the sermon, we'll have a downpour. But I am very pleased to be here today. It is a great privilege to be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. I know for our family that this is the highlight of the year, next to Christmas, and we always look forward to coming to the Cary Conference. So we do trust that as we've been praying and singing, that God would be pleased to bless us. Would you take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to consider this morning the first four verses. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I suppose there's no area of the Christian life that those outside of the church react to more as the apparent importance and emphasis that seems to be given by the Christian church to the area of money and giving and finances. It's probably the big turnoff for those who are outside of Jesus Christ. And I suppose there's a few who are inside of the church, there are a few who are truly saved as well, who react to the way that the church seems to overly emphasize these areas. As I was thinking about the Cary Conference over the last 17 or 18 years, I was thinking one of the areas we've never spoken on, I believe, is the area of Christian giving. Giving in the kingdom of God. And one of the things I've learned as a Christian and as a pastor over the years is that we do not need to be ashamed, embarrassed about anything that the Bible is not ashamed or embarrassed about. We readily acknowledge that there's been abuse in this area, that there's been manipulation, that there's been extortion, there's been taking advantage of people and using guilt and all kinds of other things to get people out of money out of one person's wallet into another person's wallet. But when it comes to the area of Christian giving, it is very, very important that we're not embarrassed to talk about it, to preach about it, and, of course, to give. The Lord Jesus Christ was not embarrassed to talk about giving. In fact, when you go through the scriptures, he, more than any other person in the Bible, seems to bring up this topic. Now, as we look at the passage that we read this morning, we want to see two things. The passage breaks down very easily into the wrong way to give and the right way to give. First of all, then, the wrong way to give. There are certain things about our lives that are very personal and very private. And one of those, obviously, is the area of money. If I were to take this mic and to go down and be like one of those talk show hosts and just kind of interview the audience and go up to different people and say, what's your name? And you tell me your name. And then I'd say, where do you live? And you'd tell me where you live. Where do you work? And you'd tell me where you work. And then I said, and how much do you make in a year? How much are you worth? How many bank accounts do you have? How much is in your bank accounts? On any given Sunday, how much do you put in the offering plate? And the amount you put in the offering plate, why did you put that amount? Why didn't you put more? Why didn't you give less? And the amount you put in the offering plate, why did you put it in the offering plate? Well, like I say, if I were to take this down and do the Donahue thing, I'm sure a few of you would be a little offended and quite upset, and you'd go and see the bishop afterwards and say, why did you have this guy speak? Why on Sunday morning? And why about this topic? You see, our money is intensely personal, isn't it? There's a real sense that when we get into this area, we feel like we're being invaded. We're feeling like someone's coming to area and territory that they have no business being in. And yet the interesting thing is that while we'll be private about some areas of our finances, those of us who are Christians have a temptation and a tendency, in a controlled sense, in a specific sense, to maybe be extremely public about some of the areas of our finances, especially in the area of giving. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has been preaching this marvelous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and even those who are not Christians, even those who have a degree of the sense of that need of morality or whatever it might be in the world, any thinking person would admit that this is the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to preach this sermon to inaugurate a new kingdom, to bring in a new covenant. And he goes to a mountain not to bring down 10 commandments, but to bring down the great Magna Carta of the kingdom of heaven, that great charter of rights for the people of God. And he goes through this marvelous sermon explaining to us the kind of people who are in the kingdom. And he tells us throughout the sermon that if you're going to be in this kingdom, your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And what he does as he goes through this sermon is he explains to us at the very practical level of our lives, where the rubber meets the road, he explains to us how the gospel radically changes a person and changes them from the inside out, makes them radically different in what they are and who they are, so that they will be radically different in what they do and how they act. As he begins chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 1 is kind of a heading, a general heading that is warning us that we need to be very, very careful that we do not do what he calls our acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them. And he will deal with our giving, he will deal with our prayer life, and he will deal with the area that we may not know a lot about, fasting. And he warns us that those who are in the kingdom have this temptation, have this tendency to do acts of righteousness for God and before God in such a way that we will be observed and seen and noted and commended and applauded by people. And if you've been a Christian more than 6 months, you know that temptation. You know what it is like to worship God so that other people will note and approve, so that they will applaud, to have a reputation as a praying person, as a holy person, as a humble person, to have a reputation as a great Bible teacher, or to have great knowledge in the Scriptures, to be noted and to be recognized by people and to be applauded. It's a temptation of every one of us here to kind of go through the program and pick out our favorite preacher and our not so favorite preacher. To always be doing things in such a way that while we are worshiping God, we are kind of honoring people. Now, the first thing the Lord Jesus Christ picks out is this area of giving. And he says there is a wrong way to give. there is a wrong way to give. And the wrong way to give does not have anything really to do with the amount we give. It has to do with the way we give. He says in verse 2, "So when, not if, but when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored of men." Now we have to take a few of these words and take them apart so we can understand what he's saying. First word is hypocrite. Well, the hypocrite is a very interesting word. It comes from the stage. It comes from theater. And what happened in the ancient world, of course, is that they didn't have these tremendous makeup artists who were able to take a beautiful young lady at 22 and make her look like a wizened up old lady of about 92. When a person was in a play, what they would do is they would put some kind of a mask over them. And it would be the mask of the villain or the heroine or whoever it might be. And it came to have a religious connotation that a hypocrite was a person who was playing a part, who was being something that they really weren't. Someone who was pretending. And he says, be very, very careful when you are worshiping God by giving money to needy people. You are not play acting. You are not pretending. You are not being a hypocrite. That you are not appearing as if you are worshiping God, when in reality you want the worship of men. Do not appear as if you are genuinely moved with the need and the misery and the want of people, when what's really moving you is the applause of people seeing you do that. Be very careful when you give. You do not give like the hypocrite. And what the hypocrite does is blow a trumpet. Now, again, in the ancient world, they didn't have the communication system that we have, and when there was an important announcement to be made, the trumpet would be blown. In Israel, of course, the trumpet would be blown to announce various important things. And, of course, when that trumpet blare goes off, everybody stops what they're doing and immediately looks in the direction of the trumpet's sound and gives their undivided attention to what's going to be said next. And he says, be very, very careful that when you give, you do not blow a trumpet first. You do not have a fanfare so that everybody will stop what they're doing and they'll immediately jerk their heads this way and look at you as you put something in the offering plate. Now, if he were in the 1990s, he would be saying, be very careful that when you give to the poor, don't call a press conference. You know what it's like, don't you? Almost every night on the news, there's a clip of a press conference. The Ontario Conservative Party is giving to the poor. And they want you to know it has nothing to do with the Liberals in Ottawa. It has nothing to do with the former NDP who were in Ontario. They want you to know that this is their program, that this is their donation, that this is their contribution to alleviate some of the needs of this province. And they call a press conference and they have the heavies there and all the big names so that you will give them the credit for financing this project. Whether it's to unwed mothers or whether it's to needy children and breakfasts before school or whatever it might be, they'll call a press conference so no one else will get the credit for their generosity. Now he says, when I give, I'm to never call a press conference. I'm to never make a public announcement. I'm never to do it in such a way that people will say, my, that Don Theobald, what a generous guy. Why, I heard, in fact, he told me himself that he financed half the project. I don't know what this church would do without her and her giving. Not only does she give up her money, but she gives up her time and her expertise and this and that. You know, if she were to ever leave this church, I think the whole thing would collapse. Well, she's told me herself the number of hours that she's given to this church. Now, the problem is, the older you get in the Christian faith, and the older you get in the Reformed faith, the more subtle you get at doing this stuff. Because our creed is, to God be the glory. We're sinners saved by grace. We have nothing to brag about. We have nothing to boast about. And you would think in the average Reformed Baptist church that it would just run so smoothly. People get along so wonderfully together. There is never conflict. There is never argument. There is never jostling for position. Because everybody understands and embraces free grace. But it isn't true, is it? It isn't true with the pastors and the elders. It isn't true with the deacons. And it isn't true with the members. Every one of us struggles with saying, hey, did you notice? Did you hear? Did you see what I gave? Now, the wrong way to give is to give in such a way that you use the needy, you use the poor, you use the church, you use a ministry, you use the Lord Jesus Christ to promote you. And Jesus says, don't. If you give so that people will respect you and honor you and you will have a reputation, Jesus says, if that's why you gave, that's what you will get. You can count on it. People will notice. And people will nod their heads and they will be duly impressed. And when you finally leave the church, they'll say, well, I can see why they left the church. They gave so much to this church. And then they'll fill in the blank. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you want to be recognized by other people, then that will be your reward. You just make sure that they notice. You just make sure that the spotlight is not on the Savior, but it is on you. You just make sure that you slip in a little hint, a little word, a little, you know, so that the with it people, the knowing people, the in people will know the real truth that you gave. And you gave generously and sacrificially to that thing. He says, the wrong way to give is with a desire to impress other people. If you do, you'll have your reward in full. What's the right way to give? Well, he says in verse 3, but when, not if, but when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, that's a very interesting phrase. Many of us have used it. We've had to do something with the government. We had to get a form filled out. You know the whole thing, eh? And you get this form from one part of the government, and you go to that building, and you say, you told me to bring this here on this day, and I think I filled it out. Oh, I'm sorry, that isn't our department. You have to go over here. So you go over there, and of course, they have no idea what this form is for, and they send you to some other department. And then you have to mail it in with three box tops and the whole bit. And about 6 months later, you get a license for your dog. And you say, boy, the government, they are so disorganized, they are so mismanaged, they are so poorly put together that the left hand doesn't even know what the right hand is doing. That isn't what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, when you give, you make sure your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is giving. Now, that doesn't mean that our giving is to be haphazard and disorganized. There's nothing wrong to plan that you'll give so much each week out of your paycheck. There's nothing wrong with having an envelope. There's probably no merit or spirituality in, you know, as the plate's being passed, to reach in your wallets and your pocket and grab a couple of loonies and throw them in and say, well, I had no idea what I was giving, so I guess nobody else will be impressed either. That isn't what he's saying. What he is saying is that when you give and you're putting something in the plate with your right hand, don't tap your left hand and say, hey, John, did you notice what you're given today? You see, this whole thing of wanting to impress other people with my spirituality, with my acts of righteousness, can never be defeated by saying, I'm not going to impress other people with my acts of righteousness. Because that really isn't the heart of the problem. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that the right way to give is to give in secret, so that you are not trying to impress you with your acts of righteousness. Now, we had never used the words, but we do. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know, the Lord's pretty lucky. That's the word we wouldn't use. The Lord's pretty lucky to have me in this church. As I look around, I'm at the prayer meetings, I'm at the evening service, I'm at this, I'm at that, and boy, I don't know what Pastor Payne makes. I'm sure it must be at least $100,000 a year, and well, I don't get quite close to that. I'll bet I give more than he does. Really, Don? Yeah, I'm sure I do. Yeah, you can tell he drives a better car than I do, and you begin to impress yourself with yourself, and you begin to tap yourself on the shoulder, and you say, "Hey, Don, did you notice? That wasn't a bad sermon. There wasn't no lightning yet or rain or anything, but hey, that wasn't bad. Only about 10 people nodded off." Have you ever sat around the prayer meeting thinking, you know, boy, I've observed that I'm here almost 93% of the time? Have you ever become impressed with you spiritually? And have you ever wondered what your church would ever do without you? Forget other people wondering what your church would do without you. Have you ever wondered what your church would do without you? You have one of these tremendous minds that's like those football cameras on the game where something happens and they're able to replay this thing from every angle. The crossbar, from the cheerleader's bench, from the guy who's selling popcorn up in the nosebleed section. You go over this and you replay it and you do something righteous and you are just enamored with yourself. I can't believe I made that catch with six guys all over me. And what you do is you kind of begin to compile a highlight video of you. Anybody have one of those? I do, but don't send 1995. It's not worth looking at. But it's very, very easy for me to compile a highlight file of me and to play it over and over and over and over and over again, and to be impressed with Don Theobald. No wonder I want you to know about me. I can't get over me. I think I'm absolutely wonderful. I just can't believe there are people like me walking God's good earth. And if I feel that way, I will have to eventually let you know that too. And if I've been tapping myself on the shoulder and saying, Don, did you notice? Mm-hmm, I saw. Then eventually I'm going to have to tap you on the shoulder and say, Pastor Payne, did you notice? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, no. He says, when you give, give secretly, so that your Father who sees in secret will reward. What act of mine am I going to bring into the presence of God and say, now, Lord, do you see this act? This act in itself is meritorious in your sight. Oh, I needed Jesus to save me. I was a wretched, rotten sinner. I had no good works that I could bring before you, and I needed the complete and perfect righteousness of the Lamb of God to bring me into your presence and to make me accepted. But Lord, now that I'm in, there are some things I can do on my own. I'm a really good giver, God. Other people think I am. And I'm a really good this and a really good that and a really good other thing. And I can act and talk and think about myself as if at certain points in my Christian experience I can go it alone. I don't need Jesus. That I don't need his perfection and his righteousness. I kind of think that his perfection and righteousness was my admittance ticket into the game. But now that I'm in the game, those areas that I do, quote, good at, I can go it alone. You see, I can't draw attention to me and to Jesus. It's impossible. It's like bringing those two magnets together and trying to make them attract when you're doing the same thing and they just repel and they push each other apart. I cannot be on the stage with the Lord Jesus Christ and share the billing. He must always be center stage. The full flood of the light must be totally on him. We're going back into the fall season. I hope we're going with encouragement. But it is possible to go with discouragement and think, oh boy, the summer's almost over. And I'm going to go back into that church. And I'm going to have to do this and do that and do the other thing and the other. And oh man, oh well, here I go. And I can be very impressed with me. Very, very impressed with me. Overly impressed with me. And then I have to live with other people who aren't that impressed with me. Because I want them to see my highlight video. And you know what they want to show? Their highlight video. Have you noticed when you go to someone's house and they show home movies that the only people who are really interested are them? Why? And have you ever wondered why you're not interested in? Besides the fact that there's the, you know, the camera's gone through the trees 4 or 5 times and things like that. Do you know why you're bored silly at another guy's home videos? Because you're not in them. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying was, listen, you give in such a way, and you pray in such a way, and you fast in such a way, you do all of the Christian life in such a way that you always remember how you got in. By grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone. That's how to give. When you start tapping yourself on the shoulder, tell yourself to buzz off. Get lost. When you give, give. Give generously, give sacrificially, give joyfully, give gladly. Give with a desire to alleviate need and misery and to minister. And then get on with your life. The Christian life is too full and too busy and too exciting for you to stop and look again in the camcorder at what you just took. Oh, wasn't that good? Oh, Don, I can't believe that you did that. That was absolutely amazing. And what the Lord is really saying, the right way to give is to give and get on with life. And don't stop to admire the gift or the giver. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't be impressed with how far you've come. Don't be impressed with what God has been doing in your life in the wrong sense. You know you're on the wrong track when you're more impressed with you than you are with God. And don't let your heart deceive you, because we're really good at playing the word game. And it's very easy for me to get up here and use all the right words so that's seemingly pointing to God, but practically pointing to me. You see, I can talk about grace and the Lord and His goodness and my unworthiness and all of those things, and I can talk and use those words in such a way that I'm saying, well, have you noticed me yet? Are you impressed yet? What do you think? I think I'm something. What do you think? And we must be very, very careful, because the right words, the right theology, the right church will not save us from anything. What saves us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I see that what God had to do in my salvation is to save me from me, not to save me from this kind of intangible, vague thing called sin, but to save Don Theobald the sinner from Don Theobald's sins. And that salvation process is still going on. I've been saved since 1966. And all of those sins in the last 29 years are to be under the blood. Those sins, Christ has had to die for my preaching as well as my ungodliness before I was saved. He's had to die for my parenting. He's had to die for my praying. He's had to die for all of those things that I would perceive as good. And yet they've been poisoned and infected with Don Theobald, with my self-righteousness, with my desire to promote myself at the expense of Jesus Christ and His church and His kingdom. So when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be done in secret. That excludes you. Now here's the kicker. You see, giving is just a reasonable response to grace. Giving is just the natural knee-jerk reaction to a person who's been redeemed and bought by the blood of Christ. Giving is just the things an unworthy servant does for his master. And yet the staggering thing is that when I give properly, my Father will reward me. I can't comprehend it. This is all of grace. He works in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then He's going to reward me for willing and for doing. What an amazing gospel. Grace from beginning to end and all the way through. And yet, my eye must always be to the approval of my Father. And you know why? Because my Father knows me. And my Father knows me and loves me enough to say, Don, you scammer. You hypocrite. You may fool those people out there, but I know your motive in doing that. And you see, I must always give in the light of my Father's face and my Father's approval and my Father's scrutiny, so that He can purify my heart and He can deal with me on the inside, so that He can be changing me at the crucial point, and that is what I am in my innermost being, so that I can become like my Father, and I can be generous and sacrificial, and I can be a person who is moved with compassion, who genuinely loves people, who is caught up with the glory of God, and can move in Christian circles and out in the world in such a way that I am effective, but my effectiveness does not wrongly affect me. And I am not becoming impressed and enamored with Don Theobald, because I'm doing it for my Father. And my Father one day is going to end all of this, and He's going to close down history as we know it. And every person who's ever lived will stand before Him. And the secret things of the heart will be exposed. And Jesus does not want us to be exposed on that day. But what He wants revealed on that day is that that man gave like God gives. And he wants, in a sense, people to be amazed and say, Don Theobald? He gave that? He did this? And the world will be just absolutely amazed at that day at the kind of person that God's been working in and recreating and refashioning and remolding so that they are becoming like His blessed and holy Son. My dear friends, we have a tremendous privilege to know the gospel. But as we were reminded last night, there's great responsibility as well. And grace can be a dangerous thing if we don't handle it with care. And we must always be a grace people. We must be always orientating all of this to the Lamb of God, so that He and He alone is getting the true praise and the true honor. Now, is it wrong to thank someone? Most certainly it isn't. Is it wrong to appreciate? Is it wrong to do things? Are we to go around now for the next 6 months afraid to do something because somebody might see it? No. What we're to do is do things with the intent that we are not trying to draw attention to ourselves. And the best way to do that is to do everything with no intent to get my attention to what I'm doing, so that God will receive the glory. Grace is a marvelous thing. You know, it is a great thing to be in the kingdom of God. It is a tremendous, exciting, exhilarating thing to be a giving person, to be a joyful giver. Every one of us who takes this for serious knows that we can give much more than we gave, because we have a Heavenly Father who absolutely underwrites the cost of our expenses and our existence. And He loves to provide for us so that we can just continually pour out provision to other people. One of the great things in the kingdom of God is that a sinner like me, and if you have any question about how bad I am, look what God had to do to save me. If I was the only person saved in history, God would have had to bruise His Son to bring me into glory. But to think that a sinner like me can be part of the most wonderful thing in the universe, the extending, the expanding, the building of the kingdom of God. And God takes money as well as many other things, and He uses those things for His glory. Absolutely sovereign. Will He build His church? Most certainly. Will the gates of hell prevail against it? Never. Will He do it without people? Never. Will He do it without generous people? Never. And He loves to work in His people so that they will be generous, so that they will be caring people, so that they will be people who just don't write the check and throw it in the plate, but they love needy people and they care about needy people, and their checkbook is just an extension of their lives and themselves as they reach out to care for those who are less fortunate than they are. And they can do that with abandonment. They can do it with generosity, because behind them are the finances of the living God. Oswald J. Smith, who's gone to be with the Lord now, said, "The question is not how much of your money will you give to the Lord. The question is how much of the Lord's money will you keep for yourself?" You see, it's all His. And He wants me to be generous with His money, but to do it in such a way that nobody knows, and to do it in such a way that I don't care that nobody knows. My Father knows, and that's all that matters. To Him be the glory. Amen.